Those of you who are pay keen attention to detail, how many of you pay keen attention to detail? Thank you, Anne. Those of you who pay keen attention to detail will notice that the title of this week's sermon is exactly the same title of a sermon that I preached not more than 2 months ago. Anyone remember? Thank you, Jenny. We talked about it during the week. Yeah, anyone else? It was the one, yeah, blessed and blessed. Remember that part there? And it was about the Beatitudes. So that was the Beatitudes. This one is definitely just pronounced blessed. I'm not going to go with the blessed and blessed part there. It's just blessed. And it's about a guy named Abram. Heard of him? Anyone? Abram? A few? Yes? Pretty good. Pretty good. All right. So Abram was uprooted. Yeah, he was. Well, you think you build a pretty good life for yourself. You've got money, property, a great partner, the love of your extended family. Things are going pretty well. But you do sense something's missing. You ever had that, you know, that life isn't all it's cracked up to be kind of a thing? So you quit your job. You sell what you can. You gather all you have left. Decide to wander the country in a Winnebago. You're ready to see just what comes next and enjoy life without worries. And things go horribly wrong. You lose all your money. You can't find a job that will replace the income that you had. Your life is in shambles. Your partner is angry and you long for the way things used to be. And you find your way back home. What did I just describe? Were you not going to movies in the 80s? Come on, this is an 80s movie. Wandering the Country in a Winnebago? No? Albert Brooks? What? No, not Vacation. Albert Brooks, Julie Haggerty, Lost in America? Anyone? Did you not? No one saw Lost in America, really? You saw Lost in America, you just didn't remember? I thought when I said Winnebago, you'd either think that or RV, the one that was more recent with Robin Williams. Yeah, it's a 1985 movie. You know what a Winnebago is, right? For those younger people might not understand what Winnebago is. You know what a Winnebago is? No. No, I wasn't pointing to you. I was pointing behind you to younger. Not just younger. A Winnebago is it's a giant motorhome on wheels. You know, motorhome on wheels, kind of redundant, isn't it? It's a giant bus that's really a motorhome, and you drive it around, and it's got beds and a shower and a swimming pool and all kinds of stuff inside it. Okay, no swimming pool, but some had jacuzzis, so that's like a swimming pool. And it became this generic term for a whole bunch of motorhomes that were out mostly in the 80s up to the early 90s, and it's really hard to find them now. I know GMC had one that was just this, you know, 35 or 40 foot long thing, and it was really hard to drive, and it ate gas like nothing, but it was pretty cool. Well, Albert Brooks and Julie Haggerty wanted to wander the country in their Winnebago, and things went horribly wrong. I guess if you saw the movie, Julie Haggerty, they went to Vegas on their first stop, and Julie Haggerty just spent all the money, gambled away all the money, and they lost it all. And then Albert Brooks was a crossing guard, and then they ended up asking for their old jobs back. So that's the plot line there. Now, Abram and his wife, Sarai, they had a similar experience, although not exactly the same, and actually his name is Abram. It's not Abraham there. You know, we have Abraham in the Bible. He had a different name at the beginning of the story. And Sarah is Sarai, different name at the beginning of the story. And Abram is still recognized as Abraham, as the root of the three, we call them Abrahamic religions. You've got, from Abraham, you've got Islam. From Abraham, you've got Judaism. And then by extension, from Abraham, you've got Christianity, all cousins. But Abram and Sarai had a good life for themselves. They had money, they had property, they had each other, and they had the love of their extended family, and something was missing. But it was not now here's where you say Winnebago. I was going for that. It was not a, there we go. You're listening there. It was not a Winnebago.
they wanted to have kids. And they were not young. The Bible says they were 75. And they didn't have any kids. But they did get the chance to wander. They picked up and left. God told Abram to go. And he went. A little more on that later. He and Sarai had many adventures. Actually, Abram once gave away Sarai to a Pharaoh, called her his sister. He wanted something from the Pharaoh. He didn't want to get killed, so he said, "This is my sister. Why don't you make her your wife?" And so Pharaoh made her his wife. And then things went horribly wrong for Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, "Why did you do that?" And he said, "Just get out of here and keep all the stuff I gave you." Nice adventure there. Anyone? No, they stayed together. Abram loved his family, but he knew that things weren't going to go really well with his nephew Lot. It said Lot went with him in the Bible readings. And they weren't really going that smoothly, so he took him up to a mountain and he said, "This is going to be my side, this is going to be your side," so that they wouldn't argue and fight with each other or become enemies. And so Lot went one way and Abram went the other way. Actually, they kind of sealed this covenant that may God watch between you and me while we're absent so that we'll be safe, but that we won't really come together and fight. And they sealed it with a Mizpah. You know the Mizpah coins that sometimes you wear? Okay, am I dating myself again? It's a little metal with a jagged down the middle, and it says, "The Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another." Romantic couples wear them when they're going to be separated for a while. And it's just romantic. May God keep us together while we're apart. Really, the basis for that is may God really keep us apart. But we've sort of romanticized that a little bit, and it was about an uncle and his nephew instead of a couple who wanted to remain forever true to one another. Just sorry I spoiled that, but since you didn't know what a Mizpah was, I didn't spoil anything, did I? Mizpahs, I guess, went out probably around the same time as Winnebago's. Oh, Abram and Sarai wanted children, and they even got their names changed to Abraham and Sarah. But they still didn't have any children. Abraham had a child with Sarah's servant, Hagar, because they were like, "We got to have some children." And Sarah was very cool with this at first. She was like, "We got to have children. Could you just, with Hagar?" And by you know, right? Okay, so. But then she became very jealous of Hagar and the son Ishmael, who is recognized as the founder of Islam. That's Ishmael. So there's a story there. There's all kinds of adventures and negative things happening. And then Abraham and Sarah finally had a child. His name is Isaac, which is Hebrew for "he laughs," because Abraham and Sarah were like 99 years old when they finally were going to have a baby, and God told Sarah, "You're going to have this baby," and she laughed at God. Right. And so the baby's name is "He Laughs." I don't think God liked being laughed at or anything, but he didn't do the cosmic sheriff thing or anything like that. They still got Isaac. So Isaac is the founder of Judaism and then by extension Christianity. So we got Ishmael and Isaac, two very important people. One time, Abraham almost killed Isaac. You remember this story? This is one of the stories in Sunday school that I learned that still just gives me shudders. He almost killed Isaac to prove he loved God. And I'm not going to start on it because I don't care how you fit it into the story of following God. It's an awful story, and we would be better if it wasn't in the Bible. We don't need an example of a father almost killing their child to know that he loved God. So just, it's there, we got to deal with it, but read it as little as possible. So let's just say that things did not always go well for Abraham and Sarah. They made huge mistakes. They also had reasons to celebrate. They had failures. That's their life, their adventure. From the time God said to go, it didn't all go perfectly. But through all of that, God was with them. Through all of it, God was with them. So there's the basic story. And I've left a whole lot out. You will have to read Genesis 12 through 17 to get the whole story, so you can do that tonight or this afternoon, or during the sermon. If you're kind of done with this part, you can open up the Bible and read that during this. I've given you at least a background to this morning's really short Bible reading, where it describes the beginning of the journey. God told Abram to go to the land God would show him, and God promised blessing, and Abram went. So we've got a whole lot more information on the story from what happened from there on, and there's a lot more that we could tell. But I think we're missing a part, and it occurs between these two sentences here. It says, go from your country, and then in verse 4, so Abram went. God describes why to go, and then it says, Abram went. See, the Bible does not hold back on all kinds of sordid details about Abraham and Sarah, Abram and Sarai, and their adventure. It doesn't hold back on a whole lot of nastiness throughout the history of God's people. So why does it hold back right here? Because, I mean, imagine it. You're Abram, you've got it good, and God says, go. So he went. But don't you think that there was some stuff in between there, like there were questions, there were fear, doubt, arguments, plans, packing, unpacking, packing again, second guessing, questions, fear, doubt, and then maybe going, followed by fear, doubt, stopping, heading back, maybe going there. I don't know, it's not in the Bible there, but I think we often have gotten this idea that God told Abram to go, and Abram just picked up and went. I don't think it happened that easily. I know that in the New Testament, where it talks about Jesus calling the disciples, it says immediately they dropped everything and went. There's a reason for that, and it's different than Abram. With the disciples, I've talked about these young boys, really, had always wanted to be called by a rabbi, and they'd been rejected. And suddenly, a rabbi was calling them, so of course they dropped everything, because that's what you did. But Abram was living a fine life, and God said to go. There had to have been questions. There had to have been hemming and hawing and wondering. It's where we live. We don't live in a, oh, opportunity, go. We think about it. I think it's where most of humanity lives and where humanity has lived for generations upon generations. When I read this story about Abram and going, I want to know about the doubts and the fears that took place before Abram just up and went. I know I can't be positive that he had doubts and fears. The Bible doesn't say he had doubts and fears, but the rest of the story shows that he was not really ready to do this perfectly. I think he had second guesses about it. He probably did several times throughout it, and I don't think that he went right away. But through all of it, through whatever doubts and fears, through whatever hemming and hawing, through whatever mistakes, remember, God was with Abram. God was with Sarai. And God promised that Abram would be blessed. And Abram endured through his mistakes and through other things that just happened, a whole lot of what I would call not blessed. And what Abram probably called not blessed. God says, you will be blessed. And then all of this awful stuff is going on. And Abram's making mistakes. And stuff is not working out the way it's supposed to. Not blessed is, I think, how Abram would have described it for so much time. But God never left. We can see that through the story. God is present. Not causing. We don't have to have God be the scapegoat, and I don't know if you can even call God a scapegoat, but the one who is causing all of this awfulness. There is awfulness going on, but God never left. Actually, God never called off the blessed bit on Abraham. The Bible talks in the New Testament about the faith of Abraham and how he is the beginning of this great movement that we have in Christianity and Judaism and this great movement called Islam, where Abraham starts it. And as God promised that Abram would be blessed, Let me make a jump here. So God promises that all of God's children will be blessed. It's here in Genesis. Listen to this one line. There's the, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. The people of Israel loved a good revenge factor in that, just to make sure. But the story of this isn't about cursing. It is, look at this. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And all the families of the earth is pretty inclusive. It's not all the families of the earth whom I choose, all the families of the earth that come from you, all the families of the earth. And so when I say, so God promises and wants all of God's children to be blessed, there's a background for that. And it sort of goes in with the whole biblical meta-narrative. Remember, God creates, we mess up. God redeems, we mess up. God forgives, we mess up. God makes new, we mess up. Abraham is a great story of the messing up part and the God making things new, making things revived, making things whole again. God never leaves. And God never calls off the blessed bit. We may go through celebration. We may go through doubt, happiness, tragedy, success, mistakes, joy, failure. Actually, it's not that we may. We all live through celebration, doubt, happiness, tragedy, successes, mistakes, joy, and failure. And God never leaves. God loves all of God's children. And that love wins. You, me, we are all God's children. And you and me, we all are blessed. Amen.